Today's stuff is Yud Chet. I just want to say right now, there's a very good chance I will not be able to teach tomorrow. So unless I let you know otherwise, assume that there won't be class tomorrow. Sorry. Okay. Mechusar Begadim. So let's just go back to Yud Zayin Amabet. We had the section where we were talking about all the different disqualifications that the Mishnah talked about, either others or Kohanim who do the work in the Mikdash in a particular way. So if he doesn't have all the Begadim, so we brought different sources for it. We started with, they said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of someone else, this Pasuk v'chagarta otam avnei aron ubanav v'chavashta lahem itba'ot v'ayta lahem kuna l'chukat olam. So we said, there you see it. When they're wearing their clothes, they have the kunat olam. Right? If they're not wearing their clothes, they're not considered kohanim, and therefore they can't do the avod. You know, if they do the avod, it's disqualified. Then they said, what do you mean we learn it from there? Don't we learn it from this other braita? Okay, the other braita starts out, I'm reviewing this because it's important for today. The other braita starts out with the shtuyei yayin and says, how do we know that if you're drunk, shimavad chilel, if you do the work while you're drunk, you're going to be disqualified? Tamud lamar yayin v'shechar al tesh, lavdil ben akodesh ubein achol. Right, that was one pasuk talked about you can't be drunk, and the next pasuk said, and that distinguishes you from ben hakodesh uben achol. They use the word chol to say, if you do it, you'll be disqualified. So far, we haven't gotten to mechusar begadim. Remember, we're trying to say mechusar begadim, and this is a different source for that. Then they say mechusar begadim v'shelo rachutz edayim v'raglayim minayin. So how do you know about them also? Talmud lamar chuka chuka l'gzera sheva. We're now at the very top of Yuchet. Okay, we learn gzera sheva. So the way that, okay, is very important to know because the Gemara is going to try to suggest things that don't really fit with this. The way this drasha works is we start off with yayin v'shechar al tesh. We connect that with the next pasuk, which says lavdil ben hakodesh uben achol. Okay, and then we say, and then once we have that this is michulal, basically, if you're shikor, we're going to do gzera shava, because by there it says chukah, chukat olam, and also by the kohen and wearing his clothes, which was the first pasuk we read, it says chukat olam. So we're going to learn that what's true for this, which is if you go to the mikdash shikor, drunk, and you work, your avodah is michulal. Likewise, by mechusar begadim, your avodah is going to be disqualified. So now the question is, right, that's how we start. We had this pasuk, v'chagarta otam, and then we said, right, and it says there, and then it will be kuhuna, l'kuhuna l'chukat olam. We said, we learn it from here, that if you're wearing the begadim, then you'll be a kohen. And if you're not, you're ke'ilu, not a kohen. So why, and then they say, but wait a minute, don't we learn it from gzera shava, from the shikor? So now, how do we resolve this? Now that's, why do we need both? So now they say, imehatam, if we learned it from the pasuk about yayin v'shechar, what would we have thought? Hava mina hanemile avodah dezar chayav alav mita, avodah de'ein zar chayav alav mita, ema lo. We would have thought that it's only, the shikur is only going to be disqualified in which avodot? We would have thought it was all this whole pasuk of yayin v'shechar, and the fact that it will be disqualified only relates to the avodot that the zar is chayav alehem, which we talked about yesterday, because this matana has to be a giving act, not a taking act, like the sweeping, taking away. And it also has to be avaditem, avodah tam, avodah that finishes something, and not Kabbalah and Holacha, which are only on the way to finishing the act there. And therefore, you would have thought that maybe if we learned it only from the Ayin v'Shechar, we would have assumed that all these disqualifications only apply to things that the Zar would be Chayav Alehem, and they wouldn't apply to Kabbalah and Holacha. And therefore, you needed the first Pasuk, Kamash Balan, to teach you that. Okay, that's what we got up to yesterday. So now they say like this, Eshkecha Mechusar Begadim. So now, since we said we learned from the first pasuk, chagarta kuna, chagarta osam avnet, v'chulei, kuna l'chukat olam, since we learned from that pasuk, what do we learn? That it applies, right? That pasuk taught us Kabbalah and Holacha. Now we want to go reverse and say, okay, well, what about shtuyei yayin? If a kohen goes drunk into the mikdash and does Kabbalah and Holacha, how do we know that that's a problem? Because according to the Shikor Pasuk, if we learn it just from there, what did we say? That would only apply to the avodot that the Tsar gets killed for, right? And that's only going to be in our list of Kabbalah, Holacha, and Zrika. Will only be Zrika. It's also other ones, right? We talked about Haftarati Murim, or doing the Nisuch HaYayin, or the Nisuch HaMayim. But right now, let's focus mostly on the Kabbalah and Holacha. So how do we know the Kabbalah and Holacha would apply to a Shtuyei Yayin? Shtuyei Yayin Minala. At Yachukach Chukah Mechusar Begadim. We'll learn it from Gzeirah Shava of Chukah Chukah. Okay? It says Chukah by the clothing in the first pasuk we saw, and it says Chukah by the Yayin V'Shechar. So let's learn it from there. This is a very weird thing, because didn't we say the Chukah Chukah was coming to teach from the Shikor to the Mechusar Begadim? Now we're flipping it, right? We're saying you learn the whole thing out from there. So they say Bahatana. Didn't the Tana say, the Brita say, Labdil Bein Akodesh Ubein Achol, right? That the Pasuk was talking specifically about the Shikor we know is disqualified. And from there, and what did this Gzera Shava of Chukah Chukah do? It applied the Chilul by the Shikor to the Chilul by the Begadim. But now they're Dafka saying, we're going to learn the chilul of the shikor from Mechusar Begadim. But didn't we say it, the whole chilul of the shikor comes from this word chol that appears in the pasuk itself by the shikor, and not that we're learning it from Gzeirah Shava, from Mechusar Begadim? Like, it's all hafuch. So what do they say? Kanasiv la mekame de lekum Gzeirah Shava. They learned it out, the lahavdil ben HaKodesh ben HaChol, which taught us that the avoda of the shikor is disqualified, was all before we had Gzeirah Shava. In other words, they darshened it from there, not knowing there was a Gzeirah Shava. Later, they learned the Gzeirah Shava. In other words, it's all a matter of the order you're going. If you had the Bechagarta Kuna L'Chukat Olam is all about the Mechusar Begadim, and that proves his disqualification, then you can learn from there to the Yayin B'Shechar. In other words, let's put it like this. If we started Bechagarta with the Chagarta Pasuk, and we said, well, that proves that it applies by Kabbalah and Halacha, which was the final conclusion we came to, right? That included more Avodot than this, and then you had the Gzeirah Shava, you wouldn't have needed to say, all you would have said was simply like this. How do we know that a Shikor can't do Avodah? Not because L'Avdil Ben HaKodesh U'Ben HaChol, but very simply, it says in that Pasuk Chukah, and it says in the Mechusar Begadim Chukah, and since the Mechusar Begadim Pasuk we learned, he's not wearing the clothes, he's not a Kohen, his work is disqualified. Therefore, we can learn it all back to the Shikor. You wouldn't need the Drashav Ben HaKodesh Ben HaChol. So what does the Gemara simply answer? They did that Drashav before they knew about this Gzeirah Shava. Okay, you'd have to say it's before they knew about the Gzeirah Shava, not before they darshaned the Gzeirah Shava, because if you recall, Gzeirah Shava has to be something you learn from your rabbis. It's not something you can make up on your own. Okay, so they're basically saying there was a bit of an order of how things came about here. Vahatanya, but wait a minute, doesn't it say in the Braita, and this all sounds like a good theory, except what does the Braita say? The Mechusar Begadim Hu Dekayalef Mishtiwi Yayin. It says that the Gzeirah Shava, once they have this Gzeirah Shava, the whole idea would be you'd say, oh, well, then we learned it out from Mechusar Begadim. But in fact, the Braita says the exact opposite. We have the Gzeirah Shava to teach us from the Shikor to the Mechusar Begadim. So this whole theory is exactly the opposite. And it's hard to understand this because we learned it a particular way, and what they're trying to do is flip it entirely on its head and say, Gzeirah Shava doesn't go from the Shikor to the Shtuyei, to the Mechusar Begadim. It's the reverse. And that's exactly antithetical to what it says in the Braita itself, right? What does the Braita say, if you don't remember? The Braita starts off and says, Yayin v'shechar al teish, u'lavdil ben HaKodesh u'ben HaChol. That's how we learn that the Shtuyei Yayin im avad chilal. Sorry, I skipped the first line, which was the question. How do we know the Shtuyei Yayin is mechulal, right? Because of that pasuk. What about Mechusar Begadim and shelo rechut tadayim v'raglayim? Because it says chukah chukah l'gzeirah shava. We learn it from there. Okay, so now we're going to have to reread the Braita to match. Our theory is now is that we start from the original pasuk we started with, is the Kohen wears the clothes, and then he has the kuna, and if he doesn't, so he's not. And from there, we learn to the shikur. Okay, and this was all, why did we have to say this? Because if you only had the shikrut pasuk, the drunk pasuk, you would think that that's only avodot that the zar is pasul. But if you wanted to include Kabbalah and Halacha, you have to learn it from the other pasuk about the clothing. So therefore, we then say, well, how do you know that Yayin and Shechar are disqualified? You come in drunk to the Beit HaMikdash and you just do Kabbalah or you just do Holacha. How do we know that that's also disqualified? That's from this Gzeirah Shava. We're going to learn it out from the Mechusar Kippurim. But where on earth do you see that in the Braita? So they're going to reread the Braita. They're going to say, Hachi Kamar. This is how you should read the Braita. Minayin, it's not minayin. Okay, remember, what was the pasuk in the Braita? Mechusar begadim v'shalo v'chutz yadayim v'raglayim minayin. How do you know that they're also disqualified? That's not the question. The question is, minayin shalo nechleku b'mechusar begadim l'shtuyayim v'shalo v'chutz yadayim v'raglayim. How do we know? In other words, let's go like this. We know there's a pasuk which teaches you're disqualified if you're the Kohen, who does avoda, because the pasuk said, if you wear the clothes, you'll have kunat olam. We know by drunk that you're pasul because it says lavdil ben hakodesh u'ben hachol. How do we know that they both apply across the board in the same avodot? That's what zeir sheva between the two. So the question of richutz yadayim v'raglayim and mechusar begadim is not how do you know that they're disqualified. We know they're disqualified from somewhere else. How do you know that they're disqualified in the same avodot that the shtu yayin? Now that's really what we want to say is, not how do you know about them, but how do you know about the shtu yayin that his disqualification is going to be the same as all the others, and that's in the same avodot, Talmud lomar chukach chukal gzera shava. So now they say, well, if you have this chukach chukal gzera shava, and really you're learning the opposite of what we thought, which is you're learning the shikor from the mechusar begadim, then there's something unnecessary here, which is what? If you're going to learn it's disqualified in the same cases, well, then you're also going to obviously learn it's disqualified. And then what don't you need? You don't need the pasuk ben hakodesh ben hachol to prove it. Okay? So now they say, ela lahavdil lamali. So what do we need that pasuk for? So that pasuk isn't actually needed for this drasha. It's needed to teach you something else. L'chidirat. Comes to teach you some additional pasuk, because what it's really saying is there would be no need for the pasuk to tell you that. Because it would be obvious it's disqualified because of the Gzeres Shavah. So what's the reason? For something that Rav says. D'Rav lo mokim emora alei miyom atova l'chavre mishum shichrut. Rav would not put up a mature gaman. We talked about what a mature gaman is the other day, right? He would kind of teach whatever the emora was teaching. He would kind of be his microphone, and he would also translate whatever needed translated into the people. And on Yom Tov, or on a Sudah Mitzvah, okay, he wouldn't teach, basically. He wouldn't put up the Mator Gaman to teach. Mishum Shichrut. Okay, what do we learn from this? That you shouldn't teach when you're drunk. Okay, luckily, Daf Yomi is in the morning. I'm not drunk yet, right? So you shouldn't...
What?
Rav wouldn't put up a Mator Gaman. Oh, he was worried about the Mator Gaman? I thought it was he himself. In other words, he wouldn't start teaching, basically. Putting up the maturgamon meant he was ready to teach everybody. That's what I understood it, because he was worried about being drunk. I seem to recall, but I didn't have time to look it up, but there was a story about I thought it was maybe even Rav, but I don't remember, but someone came to ask him a question, and it was Yantif, and he was drunk, and he didn't want to answer the question or something, and then maybe the person pushed. I forget the details of the story. But anyway, I thought about looking it up, but I didn't have a chance. But anyway... actually, you see the Rav Lomokim Memorial that comes up in Beit Zadalid. Maybe that's where it was. So anyway, if someone wants to look it up after, you can. Mm-hmm. So he wouldn't do it when he was drunk. How do you get it from this pasuk? Okay, you might say, Ma Kesher. But the next pasuk says, Ula Horot. I don't remember the words. Let me just find it. It's Yud. Give me a minute. Here. Okay, ulavdil ben hakodesh u'ben hachol u'ben hatameh u'ben hatavor ulahorot et bnei Yisrael et kol hachukim asher dibar Hashem elokechem v'yav Moshe. Talks about teaching all the chukim. So then they say, what must it be coming to teach you? Ulavdil ben hakodesh u'ben hachol. Basically, you should be disqualified from teaching when you're drunk. Okay? Not to ask the question about what goes on in yeshivot on Purim when Rashi Yeshiva get drunk and, I don't know. Never understood that whole thing. Okay. Akate. Okay. So that was, we started out, let's just review. We started out with the V'chagarta pasuk as the proof that you have, if you wear the begadim, if you don't wear the begadim and you do a voda, it's pasuk. Then we said, well, why do we learn from there? Shouldn't we learn from the Ayin V'Shechar pasuk? We said, no, because that one would only teach you avodot of the Zar. In the end, really, we're going to learn it from our pasuk, and the Ayin V'Shechar, the Shechrut, we're going to learn out from Gzeres Shavah, from us, from this original pasuk. Okay, so we've knocked out pasuk number 2 in terms of a proof. But now we're going to suggest pasuk number 3 and pasuk number 4. Okay, and they're going to again say, why are we learning it from here? We could have learned it from there. Akate mehachanaka, still. Akate means still. Still, you could say, from here we learn it? Mehatam nafka, from a different pasuk we learn it. Says, v'natnu b'nei Aharon HaKohen. Okay, why does it say b'nei Aharon HaKohen? We know Aharon is the Kohen. Why don't they just say b'nei Aharon? And in many cases in the Torah, it does just say b'nei Aharon. So what do they learn from here? B'kihuno. Okay, while he's in his kihuno as a Kohen, what do we learn here? Limeda Kohen gadol shalabash b'gdei Kohen hedyot v'avad avodato psula. What do we learn from here? B'nei Aharon HaKohen means he has to be in his Kohen status. What's his Kohen status? While he's wearing the clothes. Okay? Remember, we talked about the importance of the clothes and how, even if you remember, when there was no Shemen HaMishchah, how would they anoint the Kohen Gadol? He would wear his clothes, and that in itself, the act of wearing the clothes, would be his anointing. So, or in lieu of his anointing. So now we're going to say here that if he's not wearing his clothes, meaning if he's even wearing the Kohen Hedyot's clothes, then his avodah is going to be psula. We learn it from the pasuk, v'natnu b'nei Aharon HaKohen. So couldn't you derive from here that any Kohen who's not doing the avodah with his clothes, well, it will be disqualified. So now they say, ime hatam hava amina. If it's only from there, what would you have thought? Hanemile avodah de ma'akva kapara. Aval avodah de lo ma'akva kapara, lo. If you would learn it from there, you would have assumed that it only applies to avodah that prevents the kapara from happening. And this is because the pasuk says, if you only had it, one second. If you only had our pasuk, you would have thought, in other words, why do we need both pasukim? They're now going to go in the reverse order. They're going to say, really, if you only had that pasuk, okay, what would you have, our pasuk, v'chagarta, I'm going to call it our pasuk because it's our original pasuk. If you only had the first pasuk of Bechagarta, what would you have thought? It's only in the major avodot, the ones that, if you don't do them, the korban's not going to work, right? Which are, right, we know, the Kabbalah, Holacha, and Zrika. Okay, but what about a later avoda? So this pasuk, we didn't read the whole pasuk, but the pasuk says, V'natnu b'nei Aharon HaKohen esh ala mizbeach v'archu etzim ala esh. So what do you see here? They're doing the fire on the Mizbeach, which was for the Haftarah Nimurim. That wasn't for the Zrika, and it wasn't for the Ikar Avodah, it was for the burning after. So you learn from the second Pasuk that it's even Avodot that are not Ma'akvot, it would still be Pasul. So if a Kohen Gadol does, or any Kohen for that intents and purpose, does the Avodah in a case where, you know, does a less integral part of the Avodah, it's still going to be Pasul, and we learn that from the second Pasuk. So now they say v'akata mehachanafka. Still, we have a fourth pasuk mehachanafka. Why don't we derive it from here, which is the same type of pasuk? It says v'archu b'nei Aharon HaKohanim. Same type of idea, right? The sons of Aharon, the Kohanim. Now, instead of referring to the Kohen Gadol, though, it's referring to the Kohanim Hedyotim, the regular Kohanim, which are the sons of Aharon. Right? I was wondering why, by the way, they didn't suggest in the previous one. Maybe it only applies to Aharon, the Kohen Gadol, and not to the other Kohanim. But I think maybe they say, if the Kohen Gadol is wearing the Kohen Hedyot's clothes, and that's no good, when even it's like a Kohen's clothes, all the more so you probably say a regular Kohen who's not even wearing all the Kohen's clothes would be obviously also disqualified. So now we have a fourth pasuk. Again, they say, why a Kohenim? A Kohenim b'kiunan. Mikan the Kohen Hedyot, shalavash b'gdei Kohen Gadol, v'avad avodato psula. What do they learn from here? That if a Kohen Hedyot is wearing the begadim of a Kohen Gadol and does the avoda, his avoda is going to be psula. So wouldn't you say, right, if you know that, right, then you don't need our pasuk, because again, he's not wearing the right clothes, and that apostles it, so any case of not wearing the right clothes. So now what do they say? Really, again, they're going to answer it the reverse, which is, if you have our pasuk, why do you need that additional pasuk? Because if you only had our pasuk, what would you have thought? What does it mean you're not wearing the clothes? Means you're wearing less clothes, right? So, if you just had our pasuk, it would only mean if you weren't wearing enough clothing. But if you were wearing more clothing, like Kohen Gadol's clothing, maybe it wouldn't be disqualified. Okay. Therefore, you need that fourth drasha to teach you. So basically, we're going to say that we have this main drasha of the Chagarta. That's going to teach you, and the Kuhunat Olam, right? But then we have these additional pasukim, which all add additional elements. Okay, and that's how they view this whole thing. Okay, now we're moving on to a different topic. You can look at the charts for today. I'm not sure. Oh, yeah. Okay.
So,
what?
It was Rav Papa.
Oh, it was Rav Papa. Okay.
But he quoted her.
But was there a story with it? That someone came to ask him a question?
Ah,
was. Yes, yeah. Okay.
So he wouldn't answer because of what Rav said about it.
Ah, so he quotes Rav and he says, I won't answer your question because of what Rav said. Yeah. And was there a weird end of the story also, or did you didn't read the whole thing? Okay. Because I seem to remember something odd happened, but I could be wrong. Okay. Yafe. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan. Hayu merushalim misulakim meshuchakim ve'avad avodato kshera. Now we're talking about different details about the clothes. If the clothes were merushalim, the robe was hanging on the floor. Okay, it was too long. Or misulakim, it was too short. Mishuchakim, it was old and falling apart. And he does the avodah is kshera. Okay, in other words, you have to wear the clothes, but if they're a little long, they're a little short, as they're not exactly right, it's okay. Lavash shne mechnasayim, shne avnetim, chaser achad, yater achad. Okay, you wear two pairs of pants, or two of the avnetim. Or you added another beged to it, or you took off one of the begadim. You weren't wearing one of the begadim. Or you added, meaning you weren't only wearing those clothes, you were wearing something in addition. Okay, like let's say you wore something under your mechnasayim. Okay, you're not allowed to wear anything other than the four begadim. O shahita, this is even interesting. Ritia amakat besaro tacha bigdo. There can't be a chatzitza. Remember, I said you have to walk on the floor. There can't be a chatzitza between you and the floor. There also can't be a chatzitza between the clothes and your body. Okay, so therefore, if you had a bandage underneath your clothes, that's no good. O shahayu mitush tashim, o mikuraim, or they were dirty with, Rashi says, with teat, with what do you call it? Cement. Like a, not cement, but like a, you know, they were all dirty, or they were ripped. Ve'avad, avodato psula. Okay, so mishuchakim was just they're worn out. But if they're mamash ripped, right, so mishuchakim, we said we're okay. But ripped is no good, okay, or dirty is no good. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Okay, so that's, okay, the main thing we're going to see here is the part I quoted in the first shlav of the chart. Okay, the part about Merushalim and Mesulakim. That's really what interests us. Okay, according to the Braita, Merushalim, Mesulakim, Avodato Kshera. You can already look ahead and see that according to Shmuel, Merushalim is Kshirim and Mesulakim is Pasulim. The short ones are Pasul. And according to Rav, they're both Pasul. Now, when Rav and Shmuel say something that goes against a Braita that's very clear, we're going to have a problem. Because it doesn't make sense that they would go against a Braita. So Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So first Rav Yehuda passes down the name of Shmuel. Merushalim kshirim mesulakim psulim. And the Gemara says, v'ha'atanya mesulakim kshirim. So now we're going to have an issue that Shmuel says, if they're too short, they're pasul. And the Braita says, if they're too short, and you did it anyway, it's kasher. Amarami barchama lo kasha. Kan shesilkan al yedei avnet. Kan deleitnuhu meikara klal. There's two ways the pants can be too short. One is when you put on the belt, it raises up the pants and they become short now. But really, they're the right length, it's just that your belt raised them up. That's okay. But if they leitnu meikara klal, if they weren't the right length to begin with, they were short from the beginning, then it's pasul. Okay? That's no good. Rav amar echadze ve'echadze psulim. So now we're going to have to deal with Rav. But first, before we get to Rav, we get a little story. Rav Huna ikle la'argiza. Rav Huna came to the city of Argiza. Ramalei bar ush bezinche, the person who he was staying at, asked him a question, right? This is classic. The rabbi comes in and, oh, rabbi, you're here. I have a question. Mi amar Shmuel, didn't Shmuel say, merushalim kshirim mesulakim psulim? V'hatanya mesulakim kshirim. He basically brings up this problem of Shmuel, okay, even though we're on Rav now. He brings up the question of Shmuel. Amarlei bar minei dahi deshanye rami barchama. He says, don't you know Rami Barchama answered that question? That's an easy one. Ela la Rav Kashya. In other words, but what about Rav? Okay, in other words, why are you asking about Shmuel? That, there's an easy answer. But what about Rav? Okay, Rav is very difficult. The Chi Tema, and if you want to say, my Merushalim, what does it mean, Merushalim? Merushalim means, right, they're too long. Misulakin al yidei avnet. And it's in the Braita when they say Merushalim is ksherim. Maybe what they mean is, when a Merushalim going to be ksherim? If they're really dragging on the floor, then of course they're psulim. That's rough. But the case where Merushalim are allowed is going to be what? Misulakim al yidei avnet. Vavne megas gai, megas agis. What are we going to say? It's basically, they were dragging on the floor, but your belt lifted them up, and because your belt lifted them up, we're now going to go by the new length. In other words, we're not going to say, oh, they're really pants that are too long. We're going to say, right, megas agis, lagos is to cut, like ligzoza tatzon. Okay, so what do they mean here? It means that once you lift it up by the belt, it's as if that's the new length. Well, if he's going to say that, then he can no longer say that about the Mesulakim case. Because what do we say in the Mesulakim case? If they're too short now because you lifted them up, that doesn't matter as long as they were the right length to begin with. So if you want to answer that, that's what Rav says, well, that'll answer his question about the Merushalim, but it won't answer his question about the Mesulakim. We'll be stuck with the Mesulakim. That's what we're going to say. So if you want to say, B'chitema, my Merushalim alusulana, v'avnei megas gai, agis, ela Mesulakim kashya, Mesulakim will not make any sense according to that. So Amar Rabbi Zeira, Rav Hadatane. Rav read this braita, not that they were two different cases. He reads the braita, Hayum Rushalim, Misulakin, Mishuchakim, right? So there's really, instead of three cases, there's two cases. My Merushalim means Shesil Kanal Yedei Avnei Ksherim. Okay, he's not giving a case of the braita. When it says Mesulakim, it doesn't mean Mesulakim. The Mesulakim comes to explain the Merushalim. It says, if they were dragging and Mesulakim, you lifted them up with your belt, then it's okay. That's how he reads the braita. Okay, and that will resolve it because then according to him, it has to be the exact right length as your belt has lifted it. But if it's too long or too short, when your belt lifts it, it's going to be a problem. Okay, so he has a very different understanding of Shmuel. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyami Diftei, Merushalim Shelo Silkan Tinaihi. This whole thing about it dragging on the floor, if you didn't lift them up, is a machloket Tanaim. Okay? Ditanya. Al Arba Kamfok Sutcha. Okay, now we're getting to a totally different topic. We're obviously on tzitzit. Okay, on the four corners of your baguette. What do they darshan from this pasuk? Arba Velo Shalosh. Oh, eino ella arba velo chamesh. Does it mean it has to be a four-corner beged, four and not three? Okay. Or does it mean also four and not five? Let's say you have a fifth corner. You have five corners. Now, when you have five corners, you also have four corners, right? You just, in addition, have a fifth corner. Okay? So the question is, if you have a five-corner beged, do we say you're chayav in tzitzit? So what does the braita say? Kishehu omer asher techaseba. Okay, the pasuk says, "V'delim taselchal arba kamfot ksutcha asher techaseba," that you will be covered with. So, what does that add? You didn't really need that, right? On your beged, obviously, it's on your body, or at least you could think that. Hare ba'alat chamesh amor. So, that wording asher techaseba includes a five-corner beged. Will also need tzitziot. Okay. Hamani mekayim arba. So, what's arba? Arba v'lo shalosh. So why did you include five and say, but not three? And that's why did you say four and yes, five, but not three? And that's going to be what we said before. Marbe ani ba'alat chamesh, sheyesh b'chal chamesh arba. Umotzi ani ba'alat shalosh, she'en b'chal shalosh arba. Right? A three-corner beged doesn't have four corners. But a five-corner beged does have four corners on it. It just has an additional one. So the first source says five is also chayav in tzitzit. V'tanya idach, al arba kamfot sutcha, arba velo shalosh, arba velo chamesh. So the second opinion says it's exactly four. If you have a five-corner baguette, you're not chayav in tzitzit. So what's the assumption here? My la bahaka miflegeis. This is not the source of the root of their machloket. Demar sabar yeter keman di ite dame. One looks at the extra thing as if the five corners, it's as if it's in existence. Meaning, if it's in existence, then it's not a four-corner beged. We look at the five corners as if the fifth makes it a five-corner beged and not a four-corner beged. And that's why four and not five. Umar sabar keman delete dami. And the other one says, no, we view it as if it's not there because it does have four corners. The fact that it has an additional fifth, we ignore that. It doesn't bother us. Okay, now, how does that connect? So Shmuel, who said that Merushalim, once you lift it, sorry, 1 minute, it's, right, if you lift it, then we say, and it's too short right now, let me just get this in my head, then we're going to say it's, right, it's psulim, right? He said if you lift it, mesulakim or psulim, He said, right, if they were too short to begin with. So he says, Yeter, one second, how do I get this? Let me just get in my head. Right, according to Rav, Merushalim is psulim because even though it's too long, right, because it's too long, it's considered, it's dragging on the floor, it's considered, wait, let me just get this straight. It's considered a long beged, and then, right, the issue here is not the difference between Rav and Shmuel. The issue is the difference between the, if what you would say about Merushalim Shelo Sakan, if they're dragging on the floor, is it kasher or not? So what would we say? If they're dragging on the floor, so it's true, they're the, right, if you say we view it as if it's its own entity, meaning it's true you have it the right length, but you have a few inches more than that, we treat it as its own entity, in which case, what are we going to say? It's pasul, because we treat it as something else. Like the fifth, right, is a new thing. But if you say that we say that five is, includes four, then the long bag, it won't be a problem because it at least has the right length. If it's too short, of course, that's a problem. But if it's long, right, then we're going to say long doesn't bother us because it at least includes the shorter length. Okay, but now they're going to suggest, you know, that that's not in fact the machloka between the two brightot. In other words, they think that the machloka between those two brightot would, about the tzitzit, would match our issue here, you know, and have that argument here. They say, lo, tekule alma kemandi ite dame. Everyone agrees that it's as if it's still there, okay, meaning it's its own entity. The five-corner beged is not a four-corner beged. Even though it has four corners, it's not a five-corner beged. But why would someone then say, though, you're still chayav in tzitzit? Well, notice what he said when he said that. The first brayta said what? Shanehacha derabe rachmana asher tachaseba. There's a special drasha. In other words, really a five-corner beged is not a four-corner beged with one extra kanaf, right? It's a totally different thing. However, the Torah said asher tachaseba to include also that case. And that's why he says it, and not because it would say, he would say by us, Merushalim, that's too long, is viewed as, you know, the right length beged that's just a little too long. No. Everyone could, in fact, say, everyone in the machloket about tzitzit, when it comes to our case, in theory, right, we don't really know what they would say, but in theory, we'd all say Merushalim is a new thing. It's just something that's too long, and you can't say, well, it's got the right length, it just has more. So now we're going to go into the different opinions here. If you say Asher Tachaseba includes the fifth, so then what is the other opinion going to say who says four and not five? So what does he do with the words? Now we're going to do this ping-pong drashot. What does he do with the words asher tachaseba if he doesn't think it includes the fifth, the five-corner beged? He needs it for this brayta. Okay, this brayta starts off with something else. Uri'ita moto, right, we know this from tzitzit. We say this every day in Shema. Right, you see that you have to see the tzitzit. So what does that exclude? Prat lechsut laila. You don't need to wear tzitzit at night, right? A beged of the night. It's a, right, pajamas. If you have a four-corner pajama beged, you don't need to put tzitzit on it because that's a ksul laila. Remember, in those days, they couldn't see at night. So only when you see the tzitzit, so a beged, a nighttime beged, wouldn't be chayav in tzitzit. O eina ela prat lechsut suma. Maybe you'd say it comes to exclude, and it's, does it come to exclude ksul laila, or does it pajamas, or does it come to exclude a blind person? If you can't see, well, then what's the point of wearing tzitzit if you can't see them? That's, how do we say uritemoto? How do we view it? Is it a din in the beged that can't be seen, or is it in the person who can't see? Kishuhu omer asher techaseba. Now we're going to see the drasha asher techaseba. The brayta continues and it says, when it says asher techaseba, hare ksut suma amor. Right? In other words, it says you should put, right, any beged that you use to cover yourself. So a suma, a blind person, is obviously using the beged to cover himself. So therefore, he's chayav in tzitzit. Ha'mani makem ri'itamoto. So ri'itamoto is left to say what? Prat lechsut laila. It's coming to exclude pajamas, but not coming to exclude the beged of a blind person. Uma ra'id l'rabok ksut suma lo si ksut laila. And it's a little arbitrary what you did. You could have said asher techaseba came to include the ksut laila, anything you're covering yourself with, even at night. And ri'itemoto means you actually have to see it, and if you're blind, you can't. So what do they say? Marbani ksutsuma sheyeshna bruya etzel achirim. The ksutsuma can be seen by others. Umotziani ksut laila sheyeshna bruya etzel achirim. Okay, and then, right, so a pajama, no one can see, right? It's interesting in our day and age because everybody sees at nighttime and there's no such thing anymore, but that's how they say. V'idach, so now where is the other guy learn it from? It says, if you need a shir to chaseba to teach you a five-corner baguette, then where are you going to learn this halacha from? So he learns it from me'asher, it says asher to chaseba. So tichaseba is for one purpose and asher is for the other. V'idach, what about the other guy? Why can't he learn both? Because asher lo darish, right? He doesn't darshan every single word there. He doesn't think that extra word should be darshaned. Okay, now we're going back to details about the gadim of the Kohen Gadol. If you remember, it says he's supposed to wear michnasei bad. Okay, so now we're going to darshan this word bad. Tanu rabanan, bad sheyeshal boots. It shall be pishtan, flax, linen. Okay, a linen beged that's made from flax. Bad sheyu chadashim, they should be new. Bad sheyu shizurim, they should be twisted, meaning a bunch of strings together, a bunch of strands twisted into one. The bad sheyu chutin kaful shisha. Okay, there's a few different interpretations, but we'll go with Rashi. It says it means that the six strings, strands, in this, how many strands do you need? Six. Okay? Bad shelo yabash shalcholi mahen. You can't wear regular clothes with them. Okay, bad, here they've darshan bad. It's actually going to be a question. How they get from the word bad to all these things? Okay, the Gemara is going to try to connect them. Or maybe some of them are going to say, oh, actually, it's not really learned from here. It's just that we're telling you all sorts of details about it. But here it would be levad. Bad levad on its own. Okay, without the gadim of chol. Amar Abai l'Rav Yosef. Bishlamashu shabots hakamash malam bots im midiachrin alo. I understand you're saying bad. It has to be a boat, and it has to be pishan. It can't be anything else. Aval bad shiu chadashim, chadashim in shchakin lo. But if you want to say bad means new, new means new and not worn out. But what did we say about worn out clothing? Hatanya meshuchakin kshirin. So now we're going to have an issue because if we say it has to be pishtan, meaning it can't be made of anything other than linen, and if you wear linen, right, that if you wear something other than linen, it's no good. Right, it's ma'akev. We're assuming, since what's the assumption here? The pasuk said it has to be bad. That means it has to be bad. And obviously it can't be anything else. But then, if you're going to say that from bad, we learn all these other things, then you're going to basically say all these other things are also ma'akev, meaning if you wear them, it's pasul. But we already learned, and meshuchakim, or ksherim. So it doesn't make any sense to say that. So then they say, wait. The counter answer is like this. According to what you're saying, bad shiuchutan kaful shisha, bad chad v'chad l'chude mashma. The word bad sounds like it could be each one on their own. In other words, even by themselves, which means that in other words, the word bad doesn't necessarily sound like they have to be shizurim. Okay, they have to be twisted and a bunch of strands together. So if you want to say we learned this all out from this pasuk about bad and the it's not the case, okay? There's other things here that are also not ma'akev. So therefore, he says like this, Elahachi kamar, begadim shenemar bahen bad, tzrichin shiyu shabut chadashim shizurim sheyechutan kaful shisha, yesh mehen lemitzvah, yesh mehen la'akev. Now they're going to say like this, every time you see the word bad, we can assume that what it means is the following things. It needs to be pishtan, it needs to be shazur, it needs to be, okay, this by the way, the shazur and the shesh comes from one of the places mentioned about the Bekadim, it's avnei shesh, and it says a bunch of things need to be shesh, and they say, why does it say it each time? And then they say that it comes to teach you that they have to be shizulin, they have to be twisted. Now, they learn it from a drashan and another pasuk. What they're saying is these things are learned out from different places, but what they want to do here is they want to centralize everything and say, by the way, anytime you see the word bad, it's a catchphrase, and it can teach you all sorts of things about it. Some of them are la'akev, and some of them are just lemitzvah, right? Lemitzvah means you should do it, but if you don't do it, it's okay. La'akev means if you don't do it, it's no good. So therefore, they're going to distinguish between some of these things. Not all of them are la'akev, and not all of them come directly from this word bad, okay? Now they're going to say, well, how do we learn all these things? Mimai dahai bad kitanahu. How do we know that it's kitan? Kitan is a word they use for linen. How do we know that? Am Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, davar ha'olem in akarka bad bibad. What does that mean? The stalks grow one per stalk. In other words, the stalks don't split off. When the stalks grow, they grow straight up. They don't split off and branch off into a bunch of different and a bunch of, you know, grow a bunch of different plants. Like one seed grows one stalk. Ema Amra, what about maybe wool is the same? Amra Mipatzel. No, Amra does split at some point. Kitananami Mipatzel. Okay. But also flax sometimes splits. They say, oh no. Al Yedid Lakuta Mipatzel. Okay, it only splits. Now there's a debate, interesting, this word Lakuta. Okay, what does it mean? Lakut sounds like it could be diseased. Okay, some people say it's diseased. It's not the traditional interpretation, but it sounds like a good interpretation. Lakut, right? Could be something diseased. Also, lakut is from malkot, if you hit it. So that's the traditional explanation. If you hit it, it splits. So if a person hits it, it splits, yes, but by its own natural means, or if it gets sick, it splits, but not by its own natural means. Ravina Amar Mehacha. Ravina says, I have a different source that teaches you the bad is pishtan. Right? That one was a kind of like drasha, bad, bad, bibad. You know, it's not such a clear. But here it says it explicitly in Yechezkel. What does it say? It talks about the Kohanim Yechezkel, and it says, Parei pishtim yu'al rosham, lo mechnesei pishtim yu'al motnehem, lo yichgeru b'yaza. Okay, so now what do they say? Right, you have to wear pishtim, it has to be linen, and it can't be yaza. We'll get to assume what yaza is. So here you see, right, that what clothes do they wear? One's made of linen. There you have it. Now, the Yechezkel is basically interpreting for us what bad is. So now they ask a good question. I'm going to Rav Asher the Ravina, or maybe it's a good question, maybe it's not. We'll see. V'ha'ad da'at Yechezkel minhalan. Okay, so until Yechezkel's time, how do we know this? It's nice Yechezkel told us this, but how do we know? Now, the obvious answer is, Yechezkel just put it into words, but obviously it was what was Nahug all along, right? So that's why, on the one hand, it's a good question. On the other hand, it's quite a strange question because the assumption is it was a Masoret and it just wasn't written down. So if you're going to ask that question, until Yechezkel came, how do we know this? There's another halacha which Rav Chista tells us, we didn't know this from Torah Moshe, but Yechezkel taught it to us, and nobody complained there, right? What was this? Kol ben nechar arel lev, arel basar lo yavol mikdashi. This is what we saw in Arel, his elvot is disqualified. Where do we learn it from? The pasuk in Yechezkel, who says that any ben nechar or arel lev or arel basar, okay, someone who doesn't have a brit milah, lo yavol mikdashi. Okay, so el adba Yechezkel minalan. So what about the fact that until Yechezkel told us what we didn't know it? Ela gemara gemire lev, ba'ati Yechezkel ba'as mechay akran. It was they knew it by a masoret. Gemara Gemirale means they had a masoret, they had a tradition. And Yechezkel just wrote a pasuk about it so that we'd have a pasuk written down about it, but not. So Hachanami, you could say the same thing here. Gemara Gemirale and Yechezkel just wrote a pasuk. Okay. My loyach guru b'yaza. So what does this mean, loyach guru b'yaza? Okay, so it says you have to wear pishtim, so that should be enough. What is it, first of all, what does the word yaza mean? Okay, they have no idea. Amrabaye, loyach guru b'makom shemizi'in. You shouldn't put your belt in a place where you sweat. Okay? Kiditanya, and as they learned, yaza from lahazia, to sweat. Kiditanya, kashehem chogrin, en chogrin lo lamatna mimotnehem, velo lamala me'atzilehem. Okay? Not by lower than your, you know, under your hips, and not by your armpits, because that's where you sweat the most. Ela keneged atzileidehem, but near your elbows, like on your waist, basically. Amar Avashi, Amar Lihuna. Okay, now we just have a little story, and we'll end with this today. We'll get to the two dots. Rav Ashi says that Huna Bar Natan said to him, "Zimnecha da hava ka'imna kamei de Igdar Malka." One day I was in front of the Igdar Malka. He was a Persian king, according to Rashi. V'hava medale li hemnai, and I was wearing my robe. V'tite ni'aleva Amar li mamlecha koanim v'goy kadosh. And as I was wearing it, he was wearing it. Right, on top, by his armpits. And he moved it down. He said to me, Mamlecha Kohanim Begoy Kadosh K'tiv B'chu. It says, but you guys, you should be Mamlecha Kohanim Begoy Kadosh. And it's not respectful, the way you're wearing it, right where you sweat. Okay, and he moved it down. Which is strange, right? The king would, you know, the Persian king would go and you know, kind of, So, Ki Ata Kamayda Amemar, when I came in front of Amemar, okay, this is what Huna Bar Natan says. Right, when I came before Amemar and I told him this story, Amar le, ikayim b'cha v'hayu malachim omanecha. This pasuk was, how do you say it? It came true for you. What does it say? That the melachecha will be omanecha. Okay, what do you call it? Like foster parents, where they kind of, You know, they or some say they served you, like an oma, you know, an omenet is a maidservant, where the kings are going to come serve you. Okay, and it was like a fulfillment of this prophecy that the kings are, you know, the non-Jewish kings are going to come serve you. I was actually thinking that maybe this connects with the idea of the Kohanim serving, you know, doing. We talked about korbanot or non-Jews in the Beit HaMikdash, and then almost it's a way, you know, there the Kohanim are going to be serving actually that's the opposite. They'll be serving, but maybe they'll be coming to us. And as the idea is that they'll be, you know, here there. Maybe they're worshiping our God, and maybe that's like an image of. An image to connect to something we saw previously. Okay, so I'll let you know about tomorrow, but unlikely that I'll be able to teach tomorrow. Okay, so sorry. I'm trying to do it, but I don't think it's going to work out.